Well, this morning we have Seth Hoffman. He's the director of Camp Kananaskaki up in Spruce Creek, Pennsylvania, a good ways from here, 3.5 hours.
Two?
That's not bad. Okay. 2 hours, not bad. But he and his family were part of this ministry for a period of time. I hope you take a little bit of time, just maybe give a context of how the Lord led you and Shannon there to serve at Camp K, and some of the things the Lord's done there. Some folks here may not be familiar with the ministry. Maybe give them a little context and the ministry there, the camp ministry there. And there's some college students here as well that maybe that information might be do something to help recruit some of them to serve there in that way. And so Seth and Shannon serve the Lord there, as Seth mentioned this morning. Shannon's not with him this morning because they have a visiting group from Virginia that's wrapping up their winter retreat a little bit early so they can make it home safely with some of the weather that's coming in. So she had to stay back to kind of help care and prepare for their departure. But Seth's going to come and just share a little bit, give it a little bit of context about the ministry of Camp K, and then share the word with us.
Pastor Cruz, and man, it's so good to be here with you guys. I was going to mention, boy, the singing is just incredible, and the music, and that has been something that has blessed our family for a long time since we've come here. So it's just so great to be back and to sing and hear that with you all. On my way down, I traveled in 0 degrees for most of my way down, and so it's a little warmer down here. So thanks for that. I appreciate it. But I still remember growing up, when a winter storm was coming on a Sunday, like you kind of got jittery as a kid, like, oh man, maybe we won't have to go to church today. But the problem was my dad was the snowplow guy. So we always went to church, and it was kind of like, you know, if you got sick, like, or you were trying to not go to church because you didn't feel well, my dad would always say, well, unless you throw up, like, you have to go to church. Well, and then if you were like, I threw up, Dad's like, well, don't you feel better? Let's go to church, you know? So we didn't get much, we didn't get out of that, which I'm very thankful for. God obviously has used this ministry specifically in very formative years of my life. When we started coming, I was a freshman in college and here to Emmanuel, and God used the Sunday school classes, the ministry of Pastor Cruz and the preaching, which I still really appreciate that. The older I get and the more trials and things that God brings into my life, and anytime I talk about them or work through them with Pastor Cruz, I just appreciate his maturity and the wisdom that God has given him in leading this ministry, but also in helping me with mine as well. So Shannon couldn't be here. I'm sorry about that. But she wanted me to tell you all hello. Shannon and I, we were married 8 years ago. And so we were, actually before we were married, right out of college, we started our ministry at Camp Kananaskaki. And what happened was the camp, the board, had contacted me and my brothers because they had a speaker had stepped out on them for some reason in the summer for one of the teen camps. And so me and my brothers, we went up there, spoke for a teen camp. And I'm just so impressed. I've never tried to speak for a teen camp myself personally. It took all four of us boys to get through a week. That was as much wisdom as we had. We all just kind of knitted it together and somehow pieced it together, all four of us. So the great evangelist that can preach all week at a camp, it's just, I appreciate that very much. But the board at that time, the camp wasn't doing very well in many different areas. And you can imagine, because they called me and my brother Aaron and said, would you come run the camp? And like, you don't do that typically, as you can imagine. And we said no, because we were like, we don't know anything about running a camp. But we had worked at the Wilds Christian Camp for a summer. And so we loved what God did as a camper. We went to camp, and God used camp greatly in my life, turning me. I was a believer, but I was headed for a life completely not concerned about God. I knew him as my Lord and Savior, but I was going to do my own thing with my life. And at camp, my parents, it's funny how your parents know this. They didn't send me for 1 week of camp. They sent me for 2 weeks of camp. And God used the 1 week to show me that he wasn't holding back good things from me. He was keeping me from destroying myself, was the idea. And so, but in the process of my parents trying to play that role in my life that God wanted them to play in keeping me and and guiding me, I had gotten angry. And the second week of camp, God helped me deal with my anger and showed me that the error of that, and began a life of to be not an angry person anymore. Hopefully I'm not an angry person. My wife might tell you a few other instances, but my wife, it's so funny, whenever I go to speak, so this morning I got up early. She's like, "What are you wearing?" And I said, "What I always wear." And she's like, "But it's wintertime." And I said, "Well, I thought that suit that I wore in the fall would work." "Oh, no." So we go to my closet. It becomes a department store. And she shows me what matches. So you're seeing my winter collection this morning. So she's always with me, helping me as we go. So I am very thankful for her. She's been a super effective part of our ministry. Me and my brother went to Camp K then in 2012. And began to direct there. And the board actually had said, we'll probably shut this down. Like this, that was kind of the idea. But we were like, well, we're just going to do what we know how to do. We didn't know ministry financials. We didn't know. All we knew was, coming out of Bible college, that God's word is powerful and it can change lives. And that's it. And so we started preaching the word. Kids started getting saved. And then through that, God began to allow money to come in, because we would get calls then from parents and grandparents saying, "God radically changed my child or my grandchild. What do you need?" And so we started saying, "Well, we need to renovate a cabin." And they, and God provided the money through those changed lives and those powerful things. And so here we are 12 years later. And if you come to camp, and those of you, many of you have been there, but some of you have not, but I mean, Jay, Ernie, Dave, Nick, they've seen, and so many more of you have seen it from the very beginning, and the radical transformation one of our speakers, Dr. Les Olola, came up right when we got there. He was the president of our Bible college, and we had him come and speak for one of our events, and we took him for a tour around. And if you can imagine, and some of you know this, the old state park, like that dark purple, like that was on, that they would paint the cabins or the lodges at that time, that was our color. And so we took him for a tour around, and we said, "What do you think?" He said, "Are you going to stop holding witch covens on the weekends here?" That's what he said, "I think you need to brighten the place up a bit." And man, by God's grace, we've been able to see the cabins transformed. And we've over doubled our size. When we first went there, we were having 400 campers in the summer, and this past year we went 800 campers. And even with the 2020 being where we were back down to almost our beginning numbers, it radically jumped back up in 2021. And so we actually added 3 weeks of camp to this coming summer. And so we're 99 years old this summer. Camp K was started in 1923. In 2023, we'll be 100 years old. And so we're hoping in 2023 to hit 1,000 campers. And so that's what we're asking God to do. And we're thankful that we've seen him do above and beyond all that we could ask or think. So that's been pretty exciting as we move forward. So so that's what's going on. And so many of you have prayed for us, Caitlin McLeod was on staff this past summer. Philip Belga was on staff. Tim Kyle was on staff for a summer. We're so thankful for so many that have given their time and their energy to come and be poured out for the Lord and see kids come to know Christ, see things. I mean, I would say specifically Tim, because you were there real early on. Man, I'm sure he's seen us do. I'm sure he could tell you stories. I'm like, wow, can you believe they did that? That is incredible. I love telling the story back in the day when we first took over. We have like this little adventure camp out in the back part of our 300 acres that the camp owns. And our adventure camp leader, he wanted the kids to really learn what it was like to live out in the wild. So he, the first night, he said, "Okay, if you want to eat," he went and got these floppy-eared rabbits and let them loose and said, "You got to get them." And that's how we started. Can you imagine? I mean, that's how, and we were like, okay, we can't do that anymore. Like, we're done with that. So some of the stuff that we have worked through over the years has been really incredible. But we've really, God has been so gracious and so kind to me. And really, you would say, Seth, you know, why are you still there? I would say because God has continued to change me in that setting and continues to grow me in just ways and humble me and, I believe, make me more like himself through being there. And so that's why me and my wife are still there. I believe whenever God shows me another area of ministry that I can go and, but at this point, God is still using that in a powerful way in my life. And I feel like every year I grow more than anybody else does. And so I'm thankful for that. I really am. And this morning, what I want to do to hopefully encourage your hearts and really hopefully just give you a reminder of what God wants to do for you in this new year is we're going to go to a very familiar passage. We're going to go to a passage that I would say like many of us know by heart even, but God has really used it to strengthen my faith as we start new years each year, and that is we're going to look at Psalm 23. Probably the first time that God really got a hold of my heart with this passage was whenever I was about to get married. Me and my wife, Shannon, we started reading the Psalms, counting down the days to our marriage. And that was probably the first time I you know, obviously known this passage of Scripture for a long time, but never really, you know, never really focused on it. But that time reading it with my wife was a very powerful encounter with this passage. And then I would say the second time that this passage really stuck out to me again was when my grandma passed away. That would have been about 6 years ago, from breast cancer. And this was read at her funeral. And many of you know this passage done in that way. But that was a time where God really used this to strengthen my heart, to get my attention again. And so hopefully as we just walk through this passage today, hopefully we can, even though it may be extremely familiar, hopefully it can encourage your heart as we go into this new year and seeing what God is looking to do for me and for you in this new year. So let's pray together and then let's begin, shall we? Lord, thank you, Father, for how great and how powerful you are, Lord, and how we see you continue to do miraculous things by taking dead people and making them alive to the truth and to your gospel and bringing them into relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord. We're so thankful that we get to be a part of that, Lord. Thank you for Emmanuel Baptist Church and how they've prayed and how they've labored alongside our ministry to see so many over the last 12 years come to know you as their Savior and, Lord, be discipled and grow and then go into ministry and continue to serve and see more and more and the duplication that we see through just the power of your word and the power of the gospel, Lord. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth. Lord, help us not to grow apathetic or familiar with your word, and help us to glean from it this morning. And Lord, help it to strengthen our hearts as we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that you hold tomorrow. And so we trust you with it, and we hold your word tightly so that as trials and tribulations come, we can follow you and be strengthened in you. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin this morning, I believe the beginning of Psalms 23 is very powerful just as we begin. What does it say? The Lord is my, you can say it, shepherd, right? And I believe, I mean, for years, I just would smoke over that passage or that portion because I wanted to get to the good stuff, right? But I mean, if you really think about what David is saying here, the Lord, who is this? This Lord is the all-knowing, all-powerful, great physician, the Holy One. There's no one like him. There's no sin. There's no deceit. There's nothing that mars him in any way. This great, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-holy, righteous, he never does anything wrong. This God is So that's present tense. That's right now. Right here is what? My. He's personal. This is this all-powerful, all-knowing, right now, me, personally, is my what? He's my shepherd. You know what that means? That means, you know what? In some ways, that's encouraging, but in some ways, it's discouraging if you know anything about sheep. Because you know what that means? I'm a sheep if he's my shepherd. A shepherd can't be a shepherd without sheep. So you know what we have to do? We have to think for a second. If he's my shepherd, then I'm a sheep. So what is a sheep? And why would I need a shepherd? Why is this so important? I would say this because I'll be honest with you. I grew up on a farm, right? Now, I will say this. We did not raise sheep. So some of you in here may raise sheep. So you can correct me or maybe help me as I talk about this. We raised cattle. We raised dogs. We raised puppies as I grew up. But sheep, where sheep came into my life was at the fair. So what we would do, we would raise cattle. And my dad, he believed that idle hands were the devil's workshop. So he didn't. So it wasn't enough to go to the sawmill and work all day. We came home, we would eat dinner, and then we would go farm. And so farming, those of you that farm know that, you know, in the spring, you plant and you work the ground. And then there's like a lull time, a growing time, right? Well, during that growing time, he wanted us to be doing something. So he would buy us cattle. And so these cattle were special cattle. They were show cattle. And so these special cattle had special genetics, so they looked a certain way, so that, and hopefully, it wasn't all the time. Sometimes their genetics made them high strung, but which was not fun because we had to halter break these cattle. So these cattle, sometimes it turned into a rodeo. So it was almost like bronc riding or bull riding and busting rather than walking these calmly. But you would tame them down to the point where you could walk them calmly, and then you would be able to show them, present them to a judge at the fair. And so when we got to the fair, that's when I got acquainted with sheep, because this one specific year I had a steer that did really well in the show ring. So I got him baby tame. Like this cow did whatever I said. It would follow me around. I could leave the halter lay and it would just follow me. I didn't even have to tell it what to do. It was such a great, and I was able to spend so much time with this cow. So what that did then, it put me, because this cow was so tame and did exactly what I said, it put me in the showmanship class to be the grand champion showman. So what that means was I wasn't just the champion showman for cattle. They put me in a ring. I had to show against the rabbit show, the person that won the rabbit show. I had to go against the person that won the sheep show, and I had to go against the person that won the pig show. So what that means is you had to learn how a little bit about each one of these animals and then show these animals. So the rabbit was pretty simple because you just flip it around. So that was pretty easy. The pig was a little bit more difficult because you had to use a cane and you would steer the pig, and they're a little bigger animal, with the cane. But they were trained pretty well. Now a sheep, on the other hand, was a completely different story. So my friend Bob had the sheep. So I said, okay, Bob, I need the basics because tonight's the show. So he took me to his sheep, and he was like, okay, number one, you know, get the sheep up. Okay, so I got it up, and he's like, okay, brush it off. So get it clean. That was the idea. Well, as soon as I turned around, that sheep's dirty again. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, one thing you got to know about sheep is they're dirty. Like, they're dirty, and they have no way of cleaning themselves. Okay, now we've done things genetically to sheep to make it a little bit easier, where we've bred them in such ways that now they shed their own wool, they do things like that. But sheep are dirty, and they have no way of cleaning themselves. Does that sound familiar? We're sheep. We're dirty, we're sinful, and we have no way of cleaning ourselves, right? So that's number one. They were dirty. Number two, so Bob showed me the sheep, and some people would say that sheep are dumb. I would say that sheep aren't dumb. They're just clueless, right? Like they actually know what's going on. They just don't know what to do about it, right? That's the issue. They know that they're in trouble, but they just don't know how to get out of trouble. That's the idea. So they're dirty. I would say they're clueless. I would say number three, they're dependent. These sheep, they were completely dependent on Bob. And they knew it. And so, honestly, whenever the sun goes down, whenever Bob would get out of sight, they would, I mean, the sheep part of the fair was a racket. Because anytime that they knew they were dependent, and anytime they could not see their master, it was awful. You could barely stand to be in there. And then when all their shepherds, their masters would come back, they would calm down because they knew that they were going to be okay. So all these things, I look at myself and I realize that, you know what, this idea of having a shepherd, it's for real, because that's me. That's who I am. What does it say? You know what? Even though I know as a sheep that I'm dependent, that I am clueless, and that I'm dirty, you know what? The shepherd says, look down at verse 1, what does it say? I shall not want. Why? Why would David say that? Because he's a shepherd. David's talking to us as a shepherd. He was a shepherd. You know, we know David's life, that he was out taking care of the sheep, and he would literally care for the sheep. And David knew that the shepherd of his soul, was going to take care of him the same way that he, as the shepherd of these sheep, would take care of them. And you know what? When David was their shepherd, they had no wants. You know what God wants to do? He wants to take care of all of your needs. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to not depend on anybody else, but he wants you to solely depend on him. So let's take a look at some of the needs. I believe that Psalms 23 walks through some of the needs that we have as believers and as sheep following the great shepherd. Let's look at it. Verse 2. What does it say? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know what God wants to do? He wants to take care, I would say, number one, of your physical needs. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take care of your physical needs. What does it say? He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know what? God's going to take you to where you can get nourishment. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sheep don't always like to go where you want them to go. I'll be honest with you. So you don't direct the sheep. When you show a sheep, you don't direct them with a stick like you do a pig. You know, rabbits, you don't just, you know, you flip those around. With a cow, you have a staff or a stick that you help, but you have a halter. With a sheep, you literally grab them by the head and pull them where you want them. That's what you do with a sheep, because they want to go where they want to go. You know, we sing songs, right? We sing hymns. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Have you ever felt that way? That's why sheep, you know, they wander and they don't want to stay where you put them. Like, you can't, like, when you show a sheep, you can't like set it up and then stand back. You keep a hold of that sheep the whole time. Like, you don't let go, because that sheep will go and leave you just that quickly. So what does it say? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's going to put you where you can get nourishment for, and ultimately we see what he's talking about here in a second. He leads me beside still waters, right? So the other thing that I've learned about sheep is sheep are not always real short-footed. Now certain goats are very short-footed, and you see those on the high rocky mountains. But these type of sheep that were good for wool and good for meat, they were not. And so when they would go by water, the sheep are always looking for a calm place to drink their water. He leads me beside still waters. A lot of times, if shepherds, when they were taking their sheep across the plains, and if you've ever been to Israel, it's a great place. I will say that, man, if you get a chance to go. Me and my wife had the opportunity, huge blessing to us 2 years ago to go to Israel. And again, maybe you don't want to go right now, but I'm just saying down the road, maybe when things are a little more peaceful. But anyhow, when you could still see the shepherds in Israel taking the sheep across the plains. And a lot of times if there was fast-moving water but their sheep needed to eat, they would dig a trench and make a calm place for where their sheep could come and drink and wouldn't have to be scared to drink or wouldn't lose their footing while drinking and fall in the water. And obviously that creates a lot of issues for a sheep. He leads me beside still waters. Why? He restores my soul. That's what he wants to do. He wants to restore your soul. If you've ever felt flat-souled, you know what I'm saying? You've ever felt like why would I get up and read my Bible today? I'm so discouraged. I'm so weak. Maybe physically you've been through something and you just feel like it's all you can do. Like you can't even focus. I mean, I've started to feel like that since I turned 30. You know, I get up and I stare for a long time when I get up in the morning. Do you do that? It's just like I get a cup of coffee. I call it my stare cup. You just stare for a while and you just, you know, till you come to your senses, till that caffeine kicks in and you just stare. And you just feel like I don't even know. Maybe you feel like you don't even know what to ask God for anymore. There's so many problems in your life, and there's so many issues, or you get overwhelmed by the issues of the world. You know what God wants to do? And you know what sometimes happens? Do you see that in verse 2? He makes me lie down in green pastures. I have a lot of nieces and nephews now. I think we're up to 11. You can imagine, my youngest brother now has two boys, Asher and Boaz. Man, we were so glad he named his last one Boaz. That's been so much fun. I mean, you know, you can imagine the text that came out, because my family doesn't tell the name and doesn't tell the gender before they're born. So everybody waits in great anticipation, and I am the leading as far as picking the right gender. So I'm pretty proud of that in our family. But Boaz, when he texted that, hey, Boaz was born today, I mean, the first text that came out was, don't let the girl sit at his feet. I mean, that was like the first text that comes out of that, you know, that strand. And so when we got news of that, it was funny because my dad's pastor was with us, and he's like, my girl's named Ruth. He has a girl named Ruth. He's like, it's meant to be. So, I mean, we've had a lot of fun with that. But when your children are young, you don't give them, you know, when it comes to nap time, it's not a negotiation, right? It's like, man, this kid is out of control. They've completely lost all, you know, use of their mind and their limbs, and they've even fallen maybe and just completely lost control of themselves. And so you make them lie down. And I believe that there are times whenever our spirit, whenever our souls are in need of God to come in and revive us, that he actually brings something into our life that makes us lie down. And you don't get the option. And sometimes I think as believers, we struggle with that. We're like, God, why did you do this to me? But so often, and I've seen it in my own life, that maybe it's an injury, maybe it's a emotional situation that kind of just takes you out of the game. But you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to make you lie down so he can nourish you and give you the sustenance that he needs. And he's going to make it so that you can get it when that happens. And so that's number one. He wants to take care of your physical needs. He wants to take care of your spiritual needs. I would say that's number two. He wants to take care of your physical needs, and he wants to take care of your spiritual needs. He wants to make sure that, you know what, the truth that you know about him becomes real and productive in your everyday life, in your relationships, in the way you interact with people. I mean, I've been so thankful that recently, I've had different people in my life. A speaker just came to camp this summer, and typically I've learned this from speakers now. And it's no, this is not a shame on their character. It's just that I've learned that if you feed your speaker right away, they're happy the rest of the week of camp. Like, so you just say, hey, where'd you like to eat? They typically fly in on a Sunday, and we take them right there. We get them something to eat. And then, you know, sometimes at camp, you don't get a lot of options for food. So then I go straight from the restaurant to Walmart, and I say, hey, get whatever you want, because then you're good for the week. Like, they can, if they decide to skip a meal, they have one for themselves. But whenever we were at the restaurant, you know, what happened was, I'm so thankful for this. He stopped for a second and he just asked our waitress, he said, hey, I'm a preacher. We're about to pray. What can I pray for you? And I thought to myself, I thought, wow, even though this girl, it was pretty evident that she wasn't a sheep. She wasn't what she didn't have the same, we didn't have the same shepherd. You know what? I thought God wants to be her shepherd. And you see that, and God used that in my life to encourage me and use that as a moment where he was restoring my soul and reminding me that, you know what, you care about all these kids at camp, and that's really good, but you know what, there's people outside that I want too. And so he wants to take care of your physical needs. He wants to take care of your spiritual needs. I would say number three, he wants to take care of your directional needs. What does it say? End of verse three. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So whenever you would take, and even to this day, whenever you take your sheep from one pasture to another, a lot of times people own the ground in between the different pastures that you're going to try to graze these sheep in. So there are paths that are right of ways that you could, that, so to speak, where your sheep are allowed to go so that they can go from one grazing pasture to another grazing pasture. And it's not a problem. But typically, if you have a big herd of sheep and you try to go from one pasture to another, the land, the guy who owns the land, he knows that. You make noise, you make dust. And so they would see you coming and they would go out to see what? If you stayed on the path. Because if your sheep got off the path and trampled either their crops or ate from their crops, you had to pay restoration, and to this day you still do, for the problem that you made for this landowner that you have the right of way, but you can't destroy his stuff. And so if your sheep, as you were traveling, would pass on this path without a problem, number one, that's unusual. So that's why they're watching, because they think, okay, there's probably going to be some damage. I'm going to need some type of restoration. But if the sheep stayed on the path, what does it say? And the paths of righteousness. So the idea is that if you stay on the path, you're staying in the right. You're staying in line with who God is, in line with your shepherd. And what does it say here? It's not so the sheep get praised. We know that the sheep get off the path. It's for who? For his name's sake. That guy was not concerned. He's not concerned with the sheep. He knows what the sheep are supposed to do. If sheep stay on the path, you want to know who that shepherd is. That those sheep love him so much that they follow him and don't get distracted and don't get deterred from what the path that he has for them. So your direction in life. I know there's a lot of teens. There's a lot of college kids in here, right? You know, and even, I'll be honest with you, as you get older, sometimes you're like, am I on the right path? Like, did I choose the right path? Is where I'm at, is what I'm doing really what God wants me to do? You know, well, I'll be honest with you. Anytime I fly anywhere anymore, if somebody says, can I rent you a car or should I pick you up? I say, pick me up. I don't know where I'm going. You do. Like, I don't know. So, and now renting a car is a pain. So now I'm like, you pick me up for sure, because I don't know if I can get a car. But, you know, you get, so what the point is that I don't know where I'm going. I haven't been to this town before. You've been, you live here. So you know what? The truth is what? This guy knows where there's issues, where there's roadblocks, road construction, if there's an accident. Like, he knows how to navigate that. And I've already, in my pride, say, oh yeah, just get me a car. I'll find it. Well, guess what? 2 hours later, I'm calling him going, I don't know what happened. Come get me, right? Help me. I'm in trouble. And the truth is that God knows exactly where you need to be and what path you need to be on. And the truth is I'll say this. If you are in the workforce, I'll be honest with you. I think you can be exactly where God wants you to be. There was a time in my ministry where I was like, oh, man, everybody should be in ministry. Well, I'll tell you what. You come to the end of the year as a ministry, and there's a deficit, and you're so thankful that God had somebody working, and they're willing to generously give your ministry some money so that you don't have to run in the red and you can run in the black, and you realize that God has people in the workforce for a reason. Not just for that reason, but I'll tell you right now, you in the workforce, you have your own mission field. You have your own people that you're the only one that God can reach. You're the only person that God's going to use to reach those people. And so you have a job. Whatever path you find yourself on today, I'll say it this way. You might have gotten there because you thought you were doing your own thing. And God wasn't in your planning picture. But I'll say this. As God awakens your heart, you know what? Right now, right there, God gives you the answer. You're right where you didn't take him by surprise. It's not like, oh, now you're awake. Oh, you're way over here. Come over here. No, no, no. Wherever you're at, man, you reach those people. You show them what Jesus Christ looks like, and you tell them the truth and teach them the truth. And then if God takes you on a different path, great. But while you're there, that's what God has for you. And the Bible's very clear. For the young people, for those of you that are in high school, for those of you that are in college, right? You know, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So you know what? Your parents, you might be like, oh, man, I'm so sick of listening to them. But I'll tell you right now, they know you better than anybody. So, I mean, it's so funny. My wife, you know, she went to school for English as a second language, right? And there was nothing wrong with that. But it was funny because her parents, then she switched over to teaching. I think I'd like teaching. And her parents go, well, it took you long enough. And she was like, what? You knew I was going to be a teacher? Yeah. They were like, oh, yeah, we knew you were going to be a teacher the whole time. She's like, why didn't you tell me? They were like, well, you didn't listen to us for now, so we didn't think you'd listen now, you know. So, but we're glad you finally figured it out. I'm not saying that's the right way to parent. I'm just saying that's what ended up happening with her. But your parents know, in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, and that helps you with your directional needs. That's the idea. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when you're on the path and you see God blessing you, just give him the glory. And say, thank you, Lord. Because you know what? What does it say? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Like, you didn't do this. He did this. And then what does it say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what? So he wants to take care of your physical, your spiritual, your directional. He wants to take care of your emotional needs too. You know, have you felt anxious over the last couple years? I think if there's ever been a time where I've been anxious, it's been through that. I mean, early in my ministry, I wasn't smart enough to be anxious. I was so dumb that I just was like, hey, we can do it. Well, you know what? Then you get down the road a little further, and you know what? Something like 2020 hits, and you feel like a rookie all over again. And you want to talk about anxious and anxiety and wondering, like, is this even going to happen? Like maybe this whole camp thing, maybe my last 9 years, you know, God, like, praise God for it, but maybe it's over, you know, maybe. I don't know, you know. I'll be honest with you, taking my parents to Illinois, and they sleep the whole way there. I've never seen them that week in my life. You want to talk about emotional trouble, that, I mean, it's there, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have been there and been walking in it. Some of you have seen other people that you love walk in it. What does it say? I will fear no evil. Why? Because the shepherd is with you. You know, the sheep, just like I say, I mean, when sheep, you know, if you ever graze sheep, as the sun goes down and it casts a shadow, typically you're in a valley when you're grazing sheep because that's where the grass grows. It casts a shadow. Well, just like in the barn, whenever the shepherd was gone, when sheep are grazing, a lot of times they don't realize. They're just eating. And then when that shadow comes over, what? They realize, uh-oh, it's getting dark, and they didn't realize where they were at, and they're looking for the shepherd, and they get scared. And you hear that, and you see that in the panic. When a sheep gets scared, they make a sound, but then they also get very nervous and start running in different directions. And that's why, you know, when you see in cartoons, like sheep running off a cliff, that's for real. That happens. Like, it's not just a cartoon. Like, sheep get so confused that they just will run in any direction. But he wants to take care of your emotional needs. I will fear no evil. Or I won't fear the evil one. We know that there's an adversary, the devil, that goes around seeking whom he may devour. Why? But thou art with me. What does it say? For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, you know, in today's day and age, if you're protecting sheep, we have a little bit longer staff. We call it a rifle, right? So when a coyote comes, we think, oh, well, they can't get real close, right? Because we can keep them out at about 400, 500 yards if we're a good shot, you know? And so we think we can protect a lot further. Well, back in that day and age, you know what? The furthest thing that David had was his slingshot. And he was good with it, right? Killed a bear, killed a lion, killed Goliath. So he actually had some things that were really good. But what does he say here? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? So thy rod and thy staff, because that's what you would use to fend off these evil things that were coming in to take, to hurt your animals. Your staff, you would bring the sheep to where they were close to you, and then with the rod you would fend off the other animal. And these things comfort me. So if you are struggling, always know, if you are a sheep, if you are one of God's sheep and you're following him, what should bring you comfort is that he has a rod and he has a staff, and if you will allow him to bring you close and you will allow him to protect you and defend you. I had a conversation with, I'll be honest with you, I have a neighbor at our camp. It's fascinating to me. I've only ever tried to be nice to him, but he goes out of his way. I'm standing in the driveway of camp, right? And he's jogging by. He runs up the lane to cuss me. Like, unsolicited, right? I mean, I mean, all I've done is drop sticky buns off at this guy's place. That's all I've done. Honestly, I don't know why he's so mad, but that's what he does. That's what he did. And he tells me how we're, you know, well, you're lucky that you're not in a lawsuit and blah, blah, blah. And he's going on and he's mad. And I'm just saying, like, that, you know what comforts me? That God, you know, he will protect us. That's what comforts me. I can't do anything about that. But God, he's going to protect us. And it's like, I don't even know where that came from. Why did that attack come? I don't know where that came from. But God, he will protect me. Obviously, that made me emotional that day, right? But God protects me. Verse 5, and we're almost done. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. And here, I would say theologians, they go back and forth about this. I would say that David here, he is talking from the position of a shepherd, that he's talking about his time as a shepherd. Now, he is a king at this time when he's writing this, but some theologians would say he switches his metaphor to in his palace, in the table, but after further study, I believe that he stays in the shepherding mindset. He just uses the idea of a table because when you find a sheep that's lost, that's been hurt in some way, in those times, you would always carry a little bit of food with you, you'd always have a little bit of water, and you would always have ointment to anoint them with. So if they were hurt in some way, if they've cut themselves, number one, it would clean and begin to heal the wound, but it would also stop the hurt of the wound for the sheep. And I believe going along with where he's going with this, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I prepare a table before thee in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That, you know what? God, if you are hurt, he wants to help you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to heal you. He wants to help you become the sheep that even if you've gotten off track, even if you got lost, even if you're not where you find yourself, not where you want to be, he's going to help you if you're one of his sheep. If you're one of his sheep. My cup runneth over. There's always going to be more than what you need. I don't know if you've ever been at a table like me. As a teenage boy, my mom would set the stuff on the table and I would be nervous. Because after the prayer, I wanted to make sure I got enough, right? I was concerned that I wasn't going to get enough. And so you're praying with one eye open and you're like, okay, as soon as he says amen, I got that one. And I think that will be enough. When you're working with this shepherd, there's always enough, more than enough, to take care of your needs, to take care of everything that God wants to do in your life. And you don't have to worry. He's not stingy. We know from his word that when we ask for wisdom, he doesn't hold back from us. He doesn't degrade us. He doesn't say, well, I'll give you this much, but the rest you got to figure out on your own. No, he always gives more than what we need. He gives us plenty. And then what does it say here? Surely we end with this. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, you know what this is saying? He's going to take care of all your needs. But when your final need is taken care of, you know what? When God ends your needs on earth and he takes you home. Amen to that. Glory, hallelujah. I look forward to that. You know, not that I have a death wish. I'm just saying I hope that we're the generation that doesn't see death. So I'm hopeful for that. I'm hopeful that but if we are the generation that doesn't see death, we got a lot of work to do. Like, we better be hurrying. We better be about the Father's business because there's a lot of souls that need to come to know him before he does this, I believe. But you know what? Whenever that day, if our final day is called, you know what? He's going to take care of our final need. And you know what? He's going to take your soul to dwell in his house forever. Amen? I mean, I'm excited. You know, I mean, this football game tonight, I'm excited about that because I'm a Steelers fan. But I'll tell you right now, if the trumpet sounds, you aren't going to see me at the TV or at the football stadium. I want to be at the graveyard. Because that's going to be way more exciting seeing the dead in Christ rise than any football game that I've ever been to, right? I mean, that's exciting. That what God did when Jesus rose from the dead, he confirmed that that's exactly, if we are one of his sheep, we will too. That's what, and we look forward to that. We're excited about that. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I saw this story about a guy that had COVID. And he was in the hospital on oxygen for a little over 2 weeks. And at the end of his stay, he got better. He got out. And the doctor gave him a bill for $163,000. And the guy started to cry. And the woman said, sir, are you okay? Like, is this too much? Like, we have options. We can help you. And he said, no, no, no. He said, I'll gladly pay the bill. I just never realized how good God was to me and that he gave me this oxygen for free all my life. For 70 years, I got this oxygen for free. Isn't that something? And that God, we don't realize how good God has been to us. But you know what? When we really view ourselves as his sheep, right? Then we can see that he's been protecting us. He's been taking care of us. He's been leading us. And he's been feeding us all the days of our life. And when that life is over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I hope today, fellow sheep, that that's a comfort. As we go into this new year, not knowing what it all holds. Some of us have already had a pretty crazy start to our new year. And we look and we say, God, what do you want? I don't know. But I hope that you know that, wow, like God's going to take care of all these needs. So that's if you're one of his sheep. If you're not, if you're in here and you say, you know what? I love what you said, but I don't have this comfort because he's not my shepherd. You know what? You can have this. All you have to do is confess that you're a sheep, that you have no way of getting clean. You have no way. You can't do this on your own. Your soul is separated from God and will be forever without Jesus Christ, without his sacrifice in your place. And you can become one of these sheep, and you can have the same assurance that David did, that I do, that we do. And boy, I'd love nothing better for you than to have that today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for how great you are and how powerful you are, Lord. And thank you for your word and how it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I pray for anybody that has these needs, Father, that they would see that you want to take care of them. And I pray that as the shepherd, you will do that. And Father, I pray if there's anybody that's not one of your sheep here today, that you would open their heart and that they would humble themselves and accept you as their shepherd. Lord, we love you and pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.